Welcome to the second session in our study of dispensational truth. And last time we looked at a basic definition of what a dispensation is. Today we just want to make one point, and that's how the term is used in the New Testament. The Greek word for dispensation, oikonomia, is used in various forms, and it's used quite a few times in the New Testament. So we want to consider that today. So this word, oikonomia, we get our English word economy from that, and it simply means house rules. Oiko is house, nomia is the word for law, or house law, house rules, and it speaks of the management of a household. There's another related word, oikonomos, and that speaks of the manager of a household. So one speaks of the management, how a household and its affairs are conducted, how the responsibilities are doled out. And then another form of the same word is used of the steward or the manager of that household. There's also a verb form. It only appears in Luke chapter 16, and it's translated to be a student, to be a steward, and that appears only once. But the noun form appears 10 times. Sometimes it's translated, that's in the King James Version at least, it's translated steward several times, chamberlain once, governor once in the book of Galatians, and another form is translated dispensation. And you might remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, "For if I do this thing willingly, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." So Paul knew that whether he did it willingly or whether it was difficult and involved persecution and maybe he was fearful of doing it, didn't matter. A stewardship had been committed to him to preach the gospel. A dispensation or a management, that was his responsibility, was to preach the gospel. So it didn't matter how he felt. It was committed to him. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you were." So Paul recognized that God had dispensed to Paul. God had committed to him a stewardship, a responsibility to be a steward, to manage the affairs of God's household by preaching the mysteries of Christ and by preaching the gospel. We see it also in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is committed to me for you to fulfill the word of God." So Paul had been given a responsibility, a stewardship from the Lord to preach to the Gentiles. That was committed to his charge. So the word dispensation means the management or the administration of the affairs of a household. Now, let's consider an illustration that's given by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 16. This passage obviously has nothing to do with dispensational theology. That's not our point. We simply want to point out how the term dispensation is used in the New Testament. And what we're going to see is that it's used in exactly the same way that dispensationalists use it. So look in Luke chapter 16, beginning in we'll read verses 1 and 2. "And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward." So this passage is interesting in that it tells us a whole bunch of things about what a stewardship is. Ryrie pointed out in his classic book on dispensationalism, I highly recommend you read it, Dispensationalism Today, Had to turn off my email. I'm getting advertisements. In Dispensationalism Today, Ryrie pointed out that we can learn several things about the concept of a dispensation by this little illustration the Lord gave in Luke 16. And in this illustration, there were two parties involved. There was the owner of the household. He was the authority who dispensed, gave instructions to his stewards. So there was the owner, and then the other party was the steward. He was a servant. He was a servant of the owner. And to him were committed the responsibilities that the owner gave to him, to care for his household, to take care of his goods, and to invest his property and perhaps work in the fields. So there are specific responsibilities given. The steward was responsible to take care of his master's household. And in this illustration, in Luke 16, the steward failed. He was unfaithful in his duties. And there's also in this illustration the concept of accountability. The steward was expected to obey the house rules. He was to go by the orders or the charge of the owner of the property. He was to care for it in accordance with the rules, the house rules set by the owner or the authority. And then not only the accountability, but this little story also tells us about the possibility of a change of stewardship. The steward in this little illustration was fearful of losing his stewardship. He was afraid that it might not continue for him because he was unfaithful. And the stewardship could change because he was unfaithful. And the master, the owner of the property, had every right, if he wanted to end that administration, the way he was doling out responsibilities with that unfaithful servant, the owner had every right to change the house rules and hire or organize a whole different administration over his own property. And so dispensational truth uses the term dispensation in the very same way that it's used in this illustration in Luke chapter 16. For example, in dispensational theology, we acknowledge that there are two parties involved. The authority, the owner of the household, is God, and he delegates responsibilities to whomsoever he wills. It's his to, he can dole out managerial responsibilities as he sees fit. So God can order the house rules, and if he chooses, he could change them. And so the household in dispensationalism is the world. God is the ruler of the world. He owns the world. It's his, and he can order things as he pleases. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. And so he's the authority, like the owner of the property in the illustration. And the other party involved is the steward. So there is the owner, the manager, the owner of the property who sets the rules, and then there is the servant or the steward who was ordained or chosen to manage the household affairs for the owner. And God has a right, he has the authority to set whatever rules he wants, and he commits those rules unto his steward or his manager to take care of his property. So there are two parties in dispensational approach to the Bible. There's God, who is the sovereign ruler of the universe. It's his house. He can order things as he pleases. And then the other party is man. And God, in different ages, can be dealing with one man. He can deal with several tribes of men or a nation. He can deal with individuals. God can deal with the administration of the affairs of his household however he wants. So there are two parties involved in dispensational approach to the Bible. And there are specific responsibilities that are given. In different ages or different dispensations, God has given to men different responsibilities. Now, from God's viewpoint, a dispensation is an economy. It's a management. It is his administration. It's his household. It's the affairs of his household. And he can set the rules. He can appoint men to serve him any way he chooses. So from God's vantage point, a dispensation is an economy or an administration. But from man's viewpoint, a dispensation is a responsibility. We have been, to us, to mankind, have been committed certain responsibilities by the Master, by God. And it's our responsibility to take care of his household, if you will, and in accordance with the rules that he has set in any particular age. So man, as a steward, is responsible to obey the laws, the rules, the principles, the house rules that are addressed to him in the Bible. And in the dispensation of law, Moses and the children of Israel were stewards of the law, the Mosaic law. That was the specific revelation God gave in that day and age, and Moses and the Israelites were responsible to live by it. In the church age, God has given us different responsibilities, and we are responsible to live by the principles and the house rules, so to speak, that he has given to us in this age. For example, in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as the stewards of the mysteries of Christ," or the mysteries of God. "And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So God, Paul here, sees that he had been given a responsibility over specially new church age truth, the mysteries of God, previously unrevealed truth. Noah never knew of them. Moses knew nothing of them. David knew nothing of them. They are new revelations that have to do with the responsibilities of man during the church age, or we might call it the age of grace. And men are responsible in this age to God in the discharge of the stewardship that he has committed to us. And so just as the mysteries, these precious truths about the body of Christ and how it's to function and our responsibilities to each other, our responsibilities to preach the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth, all of those house rules have been committed to us in this day and age. The gospel of the grace of God has been committed to us. It's our stewardship. And we'll see, just as was the case in Luke chapter 16, the illustration of the steward, he failed in his stewardship. He proved to be an unfaithful steward. And throughout the ages, in each of the dispensations, they have ended with failure, because men are failures by nature. And we have been given household responsibilities from the Lord, and in every different set of house rules, in every dispensation, they have ended in failure consistently. And there is also the sense, in that little illustration in Luke 16, of accountability. So God is managing his household. He has committed house rules, a particular way of management, to mankind during the different dispensations. And they've changed from one age to the other. And in each age, each dispensation, they have ended in failure. And there is also the sense of accountability. Just as the steward in Luke chapter 16 was called to give an account to the owner of the property. And in the very same way, in this age and in every age, God is going to hold men accountable for the light, for the revelation, for the truth that had been committed to them. Now, they're not responsible for truth God hasn't yet revealed. Moses wasn't responsible for church age truth. And so we're all going to be giving an account for our stewardship. And in Luke 16, that's what that illustration said. It says, "He must give an account for thy stewardship." In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Faithfulness to God is required of stewards. Moreover, it is required that a steward be found faithful. And in the church age, we have been given responsibilities, part of the mystery of Christ, the mystery of these previously unrevealed truths, tells us our responsibilities as members of the body of Christ. And for example, in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 10, Peter says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So God in this age has revealed that in the church, each member is united organically to each other and to our head. And we have a responsibility to use the grace gifts that God has given us to edify one another, to build one another up in the faith. That's one of the house rules. That's one of our responsibilities, to use the gifts that God has given us for the common good of the body of Christ and the local manifestation of that body in particular. And so there is that responsibility and also the sense of accountability. And the New Testament tells us that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that Bema seat, not to determine whether we're going to heaven or hell, that's already been determined, but believers will stand before the Bema seat to give an account of their stewardship. Was I faithful in the gospel that was committed to me? Have I faithfully told others about the plan of salvation? Was I faithful in the grace gift that God gave to me? Did I use it for His glory, for the edification of the body and the glory of God? We're going to be held accountable for those things. Men are responsible in the discharge of their stewardship responsibilities. And so not only is there the accountability, but in that little illustration in Luke 16, there is also implied there the possibility of the change of a stewardship. Just as the master in that illustration above had the right to end one administration, he had a steward, he was going to end, he could have been fired. And that administration would have ended. He had every right to set up another way of administering the affairs of his household. So we learn from that a stewardship can end. And as we read through the scriptures from Genesis to the book of the Revelation, one thing is crystal clear. There are obvious changes in God's program from the Garden of Eden until we get to the new heaven and new earth. Things have changed drastically. For example, after Adam's failure in the garden, that the age of innocence ended in failure, things were totally different after that. Paradise was lost. He was cast out of the Garden of Eden, and life changed. There was a curse on the earth. And then we see under the dispensation of law, the Mosaic law, that was very different lifestyle, very different responsibilities than was the case in the Garden of Eden. Adam didn't live by the Ten Commandments. He only had one commandment. There was one responsibility: don't eat of that forbidden tree. And life in the church age is different than life under the law. We don't offer sacrifices. Christ is the end of all sacrifices. And so life is very different today. Now the charge against dispensationalism is that we don't use the term dispensation, or the Bible doesn't use the term dispensation in its technical and theological sense that dispensationalists do. And they're right. The Bible doesn't use that term in the sense of a theology or an approach to the Bible. But you know, there are a lot of concepts in the Bible that the Bible may not use the same terms that theologians use. For example, the Bible doesn't speak about a Trinity. The way the theologians use atonement isn't necessarily the same way it's used in the Bible. And so our point in this second session is to demonstrate one point, and that is that the Bible does use the word oikonomia in exactly the same way as we use it as dispensationalists. So to summarize this, a dispensation might be defined as a stewardship, an administration, the oversight, the management of someone else's property. And that involves a responsibility on the part of the stewards, and accountability and faithfulness to that stewardship. And so dispensationalism views the whole world, God's program for the whole world, and the world is God's household, and he's the manager. And he has committed certain responsibilities during different administrations, if you will, different dispensations. And that takes place through the various stages of revelation as time rolls on in different ages. The age of law is different from the age of grace, which is different from the kingdom age. And all of these various stages mark different economies, different ways of managing God's household with different rules, different regulations, different house rules for people to live by in different ages. And all of these different economies really speak of different dispensations. And so the understanding of God's differing economies is absolutely essential if we're going to properly, accurately interpret the revealed truth within any one of those various economies. And that's why it's okay to eat pork for a Christian. It wasn't the case under the Levitical dietary laws, but we don't live in that under those house rules anymore. We live in a whole different age, a whole different economy, in the age of grace. And next comes the tribulation period, and followed by the kingdom. And the kingdom will be certainly different than the church age. Christ will be there in person. Now, we have the word of Christ today, but things change. God's administrations have changed as time rolls on. And God has an awesome purpose in all of it to demonstrate, on the one hand, our failure, the failure of men, no matter what administration God puts before us, whatever responsibility he gives to mankind, men are by nature failures because we're sinners. And it also teaches us about God's grace and long suffering. He's waiting for men to be saved.